with us this morning. So glad that Joel read that passage to us. You see, that passage was the beginning. As the end of the beginning, the end of the sixth day when God came to earth and he said, guys, here you are. You know, and this is for you and what you're going to do with it. And oh, what a beautiful, beautiful thing it was. It was the beginning. Oh, 2021. We're there, aren't we? 2021 started a couple days ago. It's a new beginning for us, kind of. You know, it's a new year. And we can do things. I want to talk today about faithfulness. And God's faithfulness is what the title of the sermon will really be. And so as we look at that, though, it's what faithfulness is being sure that if I hear a promise, I know it's true. And so I mentioned earlier about New Year's resolutions. And New Year's, you know, we make those, and those are promises to usually ourselves. You know, I read someplace last week, somebody wrote, last year's resolution was to lose 10 pounds. They've only got 14 to go. You know, and so those types of things that we do to ourselves, we're going to, you know, save more money. You know, we're going to, whatever they are, we make those promises. And very few of us keep them. You know, some do. And that's wonderful. That shows, you know, you got that gumption that it needs to do that. And but those promises, and then make promises to each other. You know, those promises, like, you know, honey, yeah, I'll take the garbage out, you know, next week. You know, we don't qualify it enough as we should. But as we come into 2021, it's an opportunity for us to look at promises that are really important. You see, the promises that God makes, the faithfulness that we find in our Heavenly Father, is what it's all about. Because we can watch TV if you want to. You don't have to. I don't do much anymore. And hear the promises from here and here and here. Wow, man, they last a couple days, a couple weeks. You know, sometimes we just know they're not going to last at all. And so as we begin this morning, New Year's resolutions, I bet that I'm not going to ask you to share them. I remember in the olden days, New Year's seemed like it was much more fun. We would get together, you know, what's your most embarrassing moment? What's your happiest moment? What resolution did you keep? What did you break? And that was kind of neat. TV always had a really great, like, hour of remember the year past, all the neat things that had happened in the year before. And we couldn't find anything this year. It was only 3 minutes long, so they didn't air it. But so we don't have that. I was thinking about if I would ask you all, just do this. Everybody turn to the person next to you and tell them your most embarrassing. No, we don't. We won't do that this morning. I won't share our embarrassing. I got to share mine, though. We had a few folks over for dinner, and we're done eating dinner, and I go over. Sandy loves candles. I have candles in the office that Sandy's given me, and I love them. And she had a candle in the middle of the table that was going, and then everyone had left the room except one other person. And I said, well, you know, I went over to blow it out. And Bridget said, Pastor, that's an electric candle. And it didn't go out when I blew on it. And it was pretty embarrassing. You know, my house, my candle, and Bridget has to tell me it's an electric candle. So there you go. That's mine, so it's out of the way. You guys don't have to even wonder again. But so today, let's look at the promises. We're all over the scripture today. The scripture is so full of God's wonderful promises. I'm going to read one verse from Hebrews, and then we're going to have a word of prayer and get right into the study. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. And you all know what it says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. No matter what happens in 2021, our faith, we need to hold fast without wavering, because he who promised, we're going to look at the promises that God gave us, he's faithful. He's faithful. And so we have that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue with our study this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your love. We thank you most of all this morning as we think about it, your faithfulness to all generations. And Lord, we would ask as we study that you would again allow your Holy Spirit to teach us and direct us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we have this God is faithful. And we have to understand there are two types of promises, aren't there, in the scripture. And if you had a piece of paper and you had a test form and I had one, two, you would fill out the first one and you would fill out the second one because you all know what those two are. So we don't even have to talk about those. Let's go on. Well, for the fun of it, let's do it anyway. What are the conditional promises and unconditional promises? Well, speaking of tests, let's do one, shall we? I will read a scripture and you tell me, conditional promise from God or unconditional promise? Number one, ask and it will be given you. Conditional. Seek and ye shall find. Oh, that's, you're getting the gist of it, right? How about this one? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, for where I am, there ye may be also. Everyone, together? Unconditional. Christ is coming back for us no matter what. There's no condition on that. I like that one. Okay, here we go. Trick question. Here we go. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. That's kind of a trick question. Could be conditional. Could be unconditional. Our ability, God's going to keep us, okay? I'll do two more. I got a whole page of these. And if Christ has not been risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. It's kind of a negative promise. Christ did die, but it's unconditional. Christ died for us. Yes, we are of good courage and we would rather be away from the body. Oh, that's not one. That's another sermon. Forget that one. And God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Unconditional. Wow. And we're going to talk about, as I say unconditional, some of you are saying, come on, Pastor. Yeah, we'll get into that in a moment. Last one. If, now you know that, if it starts out with if, that's a condition, isn't it? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Okay, well, that was... so much for that part of the test. Let's move on. Got to talk a little bit. Sometimes we have a little bit of a misunderstanding when it comes to these promises of God because we believe and we get disappointed in God because we think he's failed us and hasn't kept his promise or his word. But the problem is that we don't understand what his faithfulness is really all about. How could God, I've been in that situation where I've heard that, how could God allow my spouse to leave me? Didn't he promise? No, that's not, you're misunderstanding God there. Sin is sin, and sin wrecks things. Sin wrecks marriages, and sin wrecks churches, and sin does those types of things. And we've been in situations where, why did God allow that? And this last year, you know, why? What is this thing that's come across the world? Why is God? What did God say? God said, "Boy," he said, "I love the fact that when those that love me pass into my glory, I love that. There's rejoicing when one of my saints passes away." And that's another sermon. We're not going to get into that one today. But let's go into today's. Understanding the faithfulness. God's trustworthiness. And for that, we're going to start out by going to Numbers. And then I've got them, most of them marked. Yeah. Okay. Numbers 23. Now I'm going to read verse 19. And it says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? You see, the validity of a promise is completely based on who makes that promise. You know, our understanding of that may need to go all the way back there, because to understand why God will do what he says, we must really understand this. That he's truthful. Has not God said it? Then God will do it. You know, is he faithful as we look down through there and immutable? You know, that changing, most of us are mutable. And that doesn't mean you push the mute button. That means we change. You know, I really enjoy this. Well, no, I really like this. And, you know, I really thought this was my stance. You know, now this is my stance. God doesn't change. It says right here in the last part of verse 19. Let's see, where am I? I'm going to read the whole thing again. God is not man that he should lie, or son of man that he should change his mind. That's that immutable part. You know, he's not going to do that. If God said it, it's going to happen. We're going to look at a beautiful story in the Old Testament in just a moment to put all of this together and see exactly what God is saying. That. So he's truthful, he's faithful, he's immutable, and he's love. God is love. For God so loved. While God commanded his love toward us while we were still sinners. And so by understanding these four, we can understand, wow, God, I can trust him. I can trust him. I can put my daily walk within him. Remember that abide thing that we talked about a few weeks ago? Abiding in him? I can abide in him knowing that he's trustworthy. Wow. Can't say that about much, can we today? About many folks, many things. So number one, God's trustworthiness. Now, to begin the story that I told you we were going to start, go to Genesis chapter 12. Familiar story, but as you look at it now, thinking about the faithfulness and trustworthiness of God, I think it's going to help it really to sink into my mind anyway. I've really enjoyed studying this. In chapter 12 of Genesis, verses 1 through 3 to begin. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Stop right there for a second. God knocks on your door, calls you by name. This is 2021, and says, hey, go get in your car, leave everything behind, and just drive. I'll tell you where to go. Well, no, Father, tell me. I'll put it in my GPS. Give me my location. No. Well, see, if I did that, you'd all stay in your house. I know you would. Nobody would get in their car and go waiting for directions from me. Why? Because I'm not, you know, God said this to Abram. Let's go on. Let's continue reading. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Get it? You get conditional and unconditional here? What would have happened if Abram would have stayed there? Not gone. Not left. Not left his family. God had no reason to do the others, did he? No. Abram showed here that he knew God was truthful, he was faithful, he was immutable, and that he loved him. And so we know that Abram did these things. He left, and he began to follow God. Now let's talk about the next one. We could talk about this one for a while longer. God's ability. Well, God told Abram that. Could God do what he said he could do? Could he make a country, a nation from Abram? A nation that whoever blessed them would be blessed, and a nation that whoever cursed them would be cursed. Well, again, we're going to look at a few more verses here. We have the three wonderful words, omniscient, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. There, I said them almost correctly. That's good for me, isn't it? And because we have these things, we're going to be turning to a few verses. Psalm 139 we'll turn to first. In Psalm 139, 1 through 4 says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search my path and my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. God's everywhere. He knows everything. And so Psalm 139, 1 through 4. Omnipresent, he's everywhere at the same time. We read that in the same chapter in verses 7 through 9. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I live from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Wow, his ability. You know, all powerful. 2 Timothy 1:17, and we read this, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God is giving us power from him. He's all powerful. He, as Joe read this morning, he is the one that put the world in place. Let there be light. Let there be green. Let there be animals. Let there be sea, fish in the sea. And they became as he spoke. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, six. So we have this God's ability. We need to understand this, knowing how powerful God is, so that we can rely on him. All of us growing up, I would think most of us growing up, especially the two guys in the back, young men in the back, know that dad is the strongest thing in the neighborhood. I challenge my dad to fights all the time. My dad can beat your dad up. My dad could too. My dad was a brawler before he knew Christ. Big forearms like that. He would, every Friday night, go in the little bitty town, seven churches, seven bars. Made it equal opportunity. You could sin or you could be, no. And he would go bar one, beat people up, drink a bunch, drink some more, beat some more people, two, three. He and my uncle. And everybody would, they would call from one bar to the next saying, hey, my dad's name is Arch, it wasn't me. He'd say, Arch is on his way. And guys would leave because they didn't want to get beat up by my dad. So I'd stand out in the playground and say, hey, my dad could beat up your dad. The kids said, yeah, we know. You know, we can say that. We can sit anywhere and talk to anybody and say, my God can accomplish anything he wants. And let me tell you what he said he's going to accomplish. What he has already and what he will. And we can do that with confidence because we know of the ability our Father in heaven has. And that is so cool. Because we don't know that of much else in our world today. We have an inkling on things and we have some knowledge, but we don't have that cement in the ground, that kind of foundation for what we believe, except in Christ and accepting God. And so we have this. We have God's trustworthiness. We have God's ability. So let's go to Genesis 21 and continue our story just for a little bit. Genesis 21. And this is where it gets so sweet. Genesis 21, verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abram a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. God was faithful. What did God say? Abram, I am going to make of you a great nation. You have to do just a couple things. Leave your house, leave your family, leave all your friends, and begin to travel. I'll show you where to go. And he did it. I am so amazed by that because I find myself sometimes in my devotions reading what I'm supposed to be doing and say, really, God, do you really want me to do that? You know, this last week has been one of those great weeks, as you all know, snow and those things, and I'm out shoveling one morning and into the afternoon and into the evening. Now, we're shoveling a long time, and this young man walks up to me. Hey, can I give you a hand? Boy, can you. Give me two and a shovel. I'll take it all. You know, and he starts talking. He hasn't got much. Long, long story. And so I went in the house, Andy, do we have any money? And we had a little bit of money. And so I said, would you help me? I really could use your help. You know what I didn't do? I didn't tell him about Jesus. I forgot his phone number. I'm going to call him. Got so busy doing the snow that I forgot what I'm supposed to do as a follower of Christ. Oh, my. Going into all the world. Oh, can't even go into my driveway and tell somebody. I was really embarrassed. I really asked the Lord to forgive me. You know, but I got the young man's name, and I've got his telephone number, and I'm going to give him a call. And he and his family are struggling. They're over down south, north of here somewhere. But, you know, we have what we see from God as the wonderful promises of the trustworthiness of his ability to do what he says he will do. We have it in the scripture. Man, look what he's done with Abram and Sarah. They promised this, and they're both old, 175, or 100, and Sarah 75 or 90, and in that air span some time. And it happens. She gets pregnant. We better look at something else here, shouldn't we? We better look at our responsibility. Looks simple, doesn't it? Oh, man, I wish it was simpler for me. I struggle with it. Our responsibility, because the Lord is absolutely adequate and faithful, we have this assurance that he will keep his promises, but we must do some things ourselves. Let's go to Genesis 22. As we read a little bit more into this story. And it says here, and let's see, I'm going to read verses 1 all the way through 8 in this passage. And after these things, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. You know, I think if some of us, we may know or have an idea what God's going to call, ask us. And so when God says, hey, Arch, I don't say anything back. You know, if I don't answer him, kind of like Adam and Eve in the garden. Man, if we don't answer God, he can't find us. Sometimes as I'm reading the scripture, I don't do what Abraham did here and say, yes, Lord. That's what you want me to do? Yes, Lord. There's a song that I do not like. I don't like it at all. And because it ends like this, and we might have sang it here, that's okay. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And it goes on like 28, 35, 45 times you say that. And we're on the way to a couples retreat. And we were talking about that, and I said, boy, Sandy, I really hate that song. She says, yeah, I know. And we got there. You know the first song they sang, don't you? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Then it goes on. If you haven't heard it, you probably will someday. But Abraham said it. He said, yes, Lord, here am I. Oh, I better continue reading. I just saw Brian get up. I think that's my cue to continue reading. Here am I, he said. He said, then God said, take your son, not one of your sons, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Does it sound like John 3:16 to anybody? Nice picture of John 3:16. Whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. You get that? I get goose pimples. Because that is how God started this journey with Abraham. Leave and go and I'll show you. Take your son and go and I'll show you. I don't think I've got that much faith like Abraham had. I struggle with that daily, to have that same type of trusting and wonderful faith that he showed. So Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't wait. He saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood from the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had showed him or told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young man, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." See how Abraham begins talking with faith when he's obeying God? I mean, he could have started crying and, "I'll be back. I'll be back shortly after this is done. I'll be back. We'll be back. Hey, you guys stay here with the donkey." You know, and I think they had a checker set so they could play checkers while they were waiting. And, you know, while he was gone. And he said, "We will be back." And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, prepared to do what God told him to do. Not an ounce of wavering. Not one going to one side to the other. And where am I? So they went both together, and Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" See, Isaac is maybe starting to get the picture. I don't think Abraham told him, because of what we read here, what was happening. "Hey, Dad, we're all ready, but you know what you forgot to bring? You forgot to bring that lamb. You want me to go back? I can go back. I'll get it. You stay here. You camp out, you know, with the guys. I'll go." Abraham said to him, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. Wow. Obeying God. Number one, our responsibility is to obey God. 1 John 2:3 says this, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." That's if we. How do I know that I've really come to know him? That I keep his commandments. And others around me can know that I am one of his by what? My love. They'll know you are Christians by your love. But by keeping his commandments, as 1 John 2:3 says, that, and read it again, "By this we know that we have come to know him." How do I really have that knowledge? I know God because I love his commandments. I obey his commandments. I do what he says no matter what. And when I don't, I ask his forgiveness, because in 1 John it also tells us, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and say, "Go at it again, son. Go at it again." Number one, obey God. Number two, believe the Lord. Jeremiah 32:17 says this, "O Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great..." It sounds like a song, doesn't it? "Oh, great God, power, and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for you." Is there anything we're going to face in 2021 that is too hard for God to handle? Let's go back. Is there anything we're going to face in 2021 that's too hard for us to handle? Yeah. Things that are going to come at us that in ourselves we can't handle. But, oh, what a promise. Nothing is too hard for you. So our responsibility, obey God. Believe the Lord. Claim the promise. I'm going to turn to Psalms 103. That's way over, before 139, though. You all knew that. Psalm 103, and I'm just going to read this to you, verses 1 through 4. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with the steadfast love and mercy. Wow. What a God we have. Claim who God is. What was Abraham doing? He was claiming the promise of God, wasn't he? What did God tell him? That he was going to have a great nation. Descendants of his would be a wonderful nation. Not if he kills Isaac. Well, Abraham told us, didn't he, that he knew that God could raise Isaac again. But he did what God told him to do, despite what the human mind might tell him to do. And so let's go back to Genesis 22 and let me read on just a little bit in verse 9 of chapter 22. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abram built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac. I'm not really teasing you, Mighty and Ron. I'm not. It's just so good to have you here today. You know, but if, and I'm not saying, you know, that Ravi's weak, but if Ravi tried to wrap Mighty up or Ron up to sacrifice him, I bet there'd be, I don't know if he could or not. Yeah, he probably still could. Yeah, he's shaking his head. I can still get my sons. Yeah. Isaac was probably 33, about. Abraham was an old, old man. Isaac could have, no, Dad, you're not doing that to me. What do we realize from that? That little thing that's not spoken in the scripture, but we read between the lines and we see that he had been taught to what? Honor what God said. To do what God tells us to do as a son of Abraham. That speaks volumes to me. Okay, well, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife. And the word I have in this one is slaughter his son. To sacrifice his son. Hand in the air. Going back to God's truthfulness, God's ability. Still in Abraham's mind as he says, I'm going to do what God told me to do. And the angel of the Lord. Man, we've talked about the angel of the Lord three or four times in the last three or four weeks. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. Now does this trouble anybody besides me? Raise your hand if that verse troubles you. No, you don't have to raise your hand. Didn't we just read that God knows their hearts? I've always wondered why, if God knew Abraham's heart, why did he have him go all the way up the hill, tie his son, build the fire, build the altar, take the knife? Wasn't for God, was it? No. When we exercise our faith in God, we get stronger. It was for Abraham. As when we're tested in a daily situation and we can either say, no, God, I'm not, or yes, I'm going to do what the Word of God tells me to do, we become stronger. And so he said, here am I. And he says, God knew you and you have not withheld your son, your only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, and behind him was a ram caught in the thickets by the horns. Abraham knew, didn't he? Abraham told Isaac, God will provide. Well, I think that's all I have. Yeah, I don't have another one. Well, I'm going to read Psalm 139. Let's go to Psalm 139 and close it. Very familiar psalm, especially in the day in which we live. If you're living your life today, your Christian life, And it's completely based on what we've talked about today, the truthfulness of God, the trustworthiness of God, the ability of God, then our responsibility should fall right into place, like gears meshing, shouldn't they? Psalm 139. Let me read verses 23 and 24 of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous or sinful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Another neat song written from a psalm. And you know, God knows our heart. God knows what's in our heart. God knows why we do what we do, how we respond the way we respond. And so, again, this is really written for us, isn't it? As the whole scripture is written for us. I'm saying that as kind of a, you know, it's written for us that we need to do that. Lord, if you'll help me, search my heart. Really identify in me anything that is keeping me from being who I should be to serve you. You know what? There could have, it didn't happen, so I couldn't say it couldn't have happened, but had it been me, if I had been Abraham, and I had Ishmael, and I had Isaac, you know, and I said, well, you know what? If I kill Isaac, I got Ishmael, got that thing on the back burner. And I say that just to remind us that I have done it. I think most Christians have done it. We kind of put things on the back burner just in case. I know God will provide, but just in case, I'm going to do this. You know, I know that God has said in His Word that, you know, He is going to honor me if I do this. But, you know, I really can't today, but I'm going to just try to do this and get by. Search your heart. See if there be anything within you that's keeping you from being who you should be. I mean, shouldn't we all seek to be an Abraham? Or Sarah, either way. You know, completely saying, yes, Lord, if you said it. I almost said the Yes, Lord song again. Lord, if you say it, I'll do it. If you say it, I'll believe it. If you say it, I'll confess it to others. I mean, can you imagine Abraham when he first had the opportunity to tell those folks around him that Sarah was pregnant? And how much they laughed, you know, at him? You ever been laughed at for sharing what God has given you as the truth? Yeah. Yes, so what? It's the truth. It's what God said. Well, it's 2021. We're a body of believers that needs to put all of our trust in God because He's trustworthy. We need to put all of our abilities, which are nothing, in the hands of a God that has all ability. And say, God, use us. 2 weeks ago, and I'm not a numbers guy, I've told everybody that, but 2 weeks ago when there was over 100 people here, for that Christmas Eve service. What a neat feeling. You know? Do you think that if we were living the lives we should, that people would say things like, you are a follower of who? Well, what do you guys do? You know? Well, we read through the Bible. We have a Bible study. We meet together on Sunday morning. You think people would be interested? I think so. You know, many times I believe that we think that because of the age in which we live, that we live at a time when God's not working anymore. We don't see people saved like I've actually heard people, well, in the 50s, people really came to Jesus. You know, people are really coming to Jesus all over the world still. God's still faithful. Jesus still has died for the sins of the world. Simple challenge this morning, 2021. Let's go into it together as a body, but individually seeking God for what he would have for us. It may be new. And aren't new things scary? New things are really scary. I've talked to people about doing some new things, and I remember Sandy said, I want to skydive. She told me that. I want to skydive. And I said, well, have fun. Do you know? And then one day she was watching a movie about people skydiving, and she came to me and said, honey, I don't want to skydive anymore. She saw him going 200 feet per second per second. Am I correct on that? Or 100, whatever it is, they fall before the chute opens. So many of us treat the things around us in our Christian life that way. It's frightening. Got a faithful God. Got a trustworthy God. Got a God that's able, and not only able, but willing to work in us. Stand with me. Let's have a benediction. And we won't have a song this morning because we didn't plan one, did we? No. I don't have one, no. Next week we'll have one. All right, maybe. All right, we are sometimes not spontaneous, and other times we're not spontaneous. So there you go. I just want to tell you how much I'm looking forward to this coming year, 2021, at First Baptist Church in Freeport. I plan to obey the Lord. I plan to be a faithful servant. And that means when you need things, you come to the servant and the board, and we do what needs to be done to make sure that God is glorified and Jesus Christ is served. Lord, for this morning's time together, we thank you for your word, Lord. We praise you, and for your faithfulness, Lord, that's on forever and ever. We give you thanks. We do these things in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. All God's people said? Amen. Well, some of God's people said, amen. That's good. Yeah. You're dismissed. Thank you so much. See you next week, if not in heaven.